Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards. Reliability starts here. Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And by Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray and Rock God Rick Maxa.
Good morning, anglers. Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. Again, Pete Gray is out having a good time, and we have got a great show going on for you today. It's just myself and Captain Brandon Hayward from the Bite Journal, Bite Sport Fishing. We are talking all things fishing this morning. Big bluefin are biting, yellowfin are biting close to home, yellows up and down the beach, and the lobster season is officially on. Great time. So much great stuff to talk about this morning. If you want to be a part of Let's Talk Hookup in the second hour, a great time. Been a busy morning, but an awesome opportunity for you to get through. We have one of each lines both available right now. Our local line, 858 area code 457-1090. Again, 858-457-1090. Or toll free. Our toll free number is 877-792-1090. One more time, 877-792-1090. Your opportunity not only to talk to Brandon, but also your opportunity at winning a great prize. And that's a 3-quarter day trip to go fishing aboard the San Diego at a C4 Sport Fishing. We're going to hear from Marcos later in the show, talk about what a great run those guys have been having. But man, just a great opportunity for you to get to go 3-quarter day fishing on the San Diego at a C4 Sport Fishing. And with that, it's time to find out what's biting on the water. It's time for our FishDope.com report with the man, Captain Mark Wish, whose report today is sponsored by the Sato Crimp and Winder Company, where they only make products at work. If you want to end connection failures, you need the Sato Crimp Kit. It's a must-have piece of gear for your trip to help you catch everything from school-sized tuna to record-sized tuna. And with all brass crimps and other features, it's better than ever. It's the favorite connection method on the Royal Star, the Royal Polaris, the American Angler, and most of the other top boats. And if you haven't already, you should make it your preferred connection for Spectra to Mono or Spectra to Fluorocarbon. Get it selected tackle stores like Fisherman's Landing Tackle or at SatoCrimpAndWinder.com. And I will say real quick, we developed a kit with Gary, the Sato Crimp Kit. We have a Fisherman's Landing Kit, kind of designed for the guy that's a long-range fisherman from, say, seven to long trips. And it's a kit that's in between the price of the starter kit and the pro kit. It's got a lot more crimps than the starter does, with all the things you need for a long range trip and maybe some of the things that you don't. So very cool kit. Check it out. Again, it's a Fisherman's Landing Kit from the Sato Crimp and Winder Company. We're going to start it off with our FishDope.com reporter, the man, Captain Mark Wish of Pacific Edge, is on the line, our private boater buddy. Good morning, Mark.
Morning, Ricky. Good morning, Brandon.
Good morning.
Great show today, of course.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks for that.
But, hey, guys, we're just past that fall equinox. The days are getting a little shorter. That sun angle's dropping a little lower. Season's definitely changing. But, man, that sure doesn't mean it's any slower. It's good fishing in many areas right now, guys. At all of our local islands, there's been some really good angling opportunity this week here. We've had some stellar weather. So everything got looked at out there. San Nicolas, been that stock rock fish, lingcod fishing, always good there. But some good samples of yellows out there on the hard bottom areas. And a lot of times that fall fishing on the yellows and sea bass at Nick, it's good and it don't get looked at very much. At Santa Barbara Island, oh boy, full speed on the big yellows there for a few days midweek, flat calm and biting fish. Both sides of the island, front side, back side. You guys are fishing around the back. Watch out for that rock out there on the end of that boiler ridge. That thing will give you a big surprise if you're not set up just right. It can be scary. Heavy tackle, guys. Oh, that's big fish, and they're really tearing up the tackle. Catalina, still some good signal on that big yellowtail there outside west end high spots there. That's been good. Pedestal rock doesn't get fished much. That's one of my favorites. Farnsworth Banks getting a lot of pressure. It's holding a lot of fish, though. Salta Verde sector and Orange Rocks are all holding some of that good great yellows. Again, a lot of that's bigger fish, heavy tackle, guys, if you want to land them. San Clemente Island, lots of opportunity there, big yellows biting. You know, it's been good up the front, but kind of that slowed down, and that kind of seems like it shifted around the back there. Guys have been fishing up there around Lost, the Windmill, and on China proper is all holding some of that tanker great yellowtail. And then Desperation Reef up on the shallows, there's been some good shots at the big yellows on the reef, and there's also some bluefin mixed in with that, some of that school-sized bluefin. You know, I love fishing that island. We were coming home Monday morning. We were slow trolling up the front, just kind of taking it easy, and it was warm and flat, calm, and just a little slice of heaven right here in our backyard. I love that. Moving offshore, that marlin's starting to get on the move. You know, at this time of year, you know, sometimes they just gather up and bail out. I don't think that's going to happen this year because our water's still so warm. But it looks like it's definitely trickling down from up above where a lot of it's been all season. There's been a little more fish showing up around the east end of Catalina, down across the 277, down to the 209 like that. Lots of yellowfin around, a couple different areas. Some of that bigger fish is up this way here from, like, outside the 277 or toward the mackerel bank or toward the west end of Kilmeny like that. Some of that's better grade fish. And then the main area, the school size ones, is like that 182, 302, 425 zone. You know, it's not wide open all the time. You got to find that right school or the right kelp. But, boy, when you do, it's game on, man. It's good fishing. There's a lot of them things around. And then the big ones, that giant bluefin tuna, you know, it went MIA for a couple days, but which was the day I was there. And then but it's back to biting again on the backside of Kilmeny in that stock sector, 381 to the 386, and then up to eel like that. And then a few highlights here just to finish things up. How about a swordfish caught on a flatball jig this week and a potential California state record yellowfin tuna, yellowfin, not bluefin, 265 pounds on a marlin jig out around that 312 area. If that stands up as a record, which I'm sure it will, that'll kick out something that my friends caught on the Seaway in 1983. Ron Howard got a 239 years back. So, I mean, it's crazy to see that big yellowfin around here now. It bodes well for fall, and then with all of that going on, somehow we're going to have to figure out how to talk about lobster fishing. Those poor guys are going to take a beat down tonight when everybody gets on them. So.
The people fishing for them or the lobster?
Yes.
Both.
Yes. Yes is the
both.
Right answer. Yeah. Mark, what an unbelievable... I mean, what do you say? What do you say about it? You know, I mean, this season has gone on. I feel like you've been talking about, you know, shots at Cal Bluefin for months and months and months now.
Months.
And, you know, now, you know, there's 200-pound yellowfin off Oceanside. It's just crazy what's going on right now. Throw the lobsters in there. There are so many cool options on what to go fishing for right now.
It's just, you know, and at this time of year, you know, the weather is typically better. The crowds are definitely gone. And, you know, across the board, the fish trend towards being bigger at this time of year. It's my favorite time to fish, bar none. I just love it. And it's just, we have so much opportunity. There is so much warm water, clean water, loaded with bait in so many areas. I just don't see this one winding down very early, guys.
I'm with you. And I got to take my hats off and mention something that you talked about, the swordfish there, to Captain Pat Cavanaugh of the Pacific Dawn and Man Dog. Those guys had, how about this, they had an 8-passenger charter, and on the second day of their 2-day trip, they were targeting those big ones. With 8 passengers, they had 4 bluefin over 200 pounds with a 280. They had another one that they said was every bit as big as that 280 that went away at color, and they had a swordfish that was probably close to 200 pounds all said and done on a flat fall. I mean, for 8 guys, 4 cows and a swordfish in one day of fishing within one day of San Diego.
Incredible.
Just another day at the office, brother.
That Pacific Dawn has been on those big ones and really, really getting them good. It's been amazing. Well, certainly great fishing going on. So much information. They keep up with all that great stuff because I know you gather so much information that you provide to Danny, and as do everybody else from fishdope.com. And if you want to stay up on where that big fish is biting, where the lobster's crawling, the best place to do it is at fishdope.com. And you can save $20 with a new membership by punching in the code HOOKUPNOW. It's all lowercase with no space. HOOKUPNOW is going to save you $20, a new subscription to fishdope.com. And Mark, if somebody wants to find you, keep up on what's going on, get the best bait tank in the business and all the other great stuff going on at Pacific Edge, how do we do that?
Ricky, we're in Huntington Beach on the corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger. Phone number at the store is area code 714-840-4262. The website, PacificEdgeTackle.com. And let me mention one thing real quick, guys. I know you guys touched on it earlier, but you guys got to put your Go ID number on those lobster buoys now. And I can't begin to think of how many lobster cards we saw yesterday and talking to guys. Not one single person knew about that new regulation. You bet Fish and Game's going to be all over that for another revenue source. So
I thought outreach was pretty good. Like, I saw it all over the place. It was in print. I saw it on social media. You know, I thought that people have had a good chance to know there's been a change, and it's not like a surprise thing last week, right? It's been on the table for a while.
No,
so I'm really surprised people,
It's even in the regs. In fact, I was looking at the regulation book yesterday, and it's in red. It's highlighted in red, so you can't miss it. It's just, you know, guys just, they're just not paying attention.
Yeah, I'll back up
but
what Mark's saying.
But you need to be, because they're going to be writing tickets.
Yeah, I'll back you up, Mark. We, you know, obviously at the tackle store, we sold an amazing amount of lobster cards yesterday, and the amount of people that were aware of the GoID number, which is easy to find, it's right on your license, was just almost nil. So, and I'm with you. I mean, we talked about it on Let's Talk Hookup a bunch, and we heard from Jim Salazar earlier in the year. We're going to have Jim Salazar on the show tomorrow talking all about it. But, yeah, good, very good call, Mark, because there's one thing that the Department of Fish and Wildlife is very proud of, and that's their lobsters. And the fines for them are they are not cheap.
When guys step on the boat, I say there's no warnings with lobster.
Yeah, straight up.
So I collect everyone's lobster report card, everyone's license at the beginning, fill it out, and then I hold on to it. So when, not if, when you get checked, you can hand it over, and I've taken care of everything so I can kind of take responsibility. But no one's getting a warning, man.
That's very smart business, and, you know, they are very particular about that card being filled out. If you're in the area with gear down, there's no, like, oh, I'm going to fill it out, I just haven't got to it yet. Like, that's not an excuse.
If it's after midnight, you have to put in a new entry.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
On it. Mark, great info, man. Appreciate that. Fishdope.com. Lots of fish biting right now, and we sure appreciate it, as always.
Okay, we'll talk to you guys next week.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate that. Hey, now let's head on down to San Diego, over to C4 Sport Fishing. Talk to our buddy Marcos. Marcos, what's going on at C4?
Well, we're one day away from October, and we're still having some great fishing here. And, you know, like I said, we talk about this pretty much every week here. September, October usually has some very nice weather, some very good fishing, and it's kind of carrying through here. Half day, a little bit shift there, not as much yellowtail. Morning trips, mostly bottom fish. In the afternoon, they're still picking away at some yellowtail, bonita, some bass on there. It's a nice mix of fish for those half days there. Three-quarter day trips, San Diego still fishing offshore there, catching lots of yellowfin. Yesterday they had 145. Day before that they had 55. So a little less consistent than it was a couple weeks ago, but still, like I said, we're going October here, and the three-quarter day is still catching yellowfin, and that's quite a shift over time since, you know, last 10 years here, where it's like, oh, they caught a couple of yellowfin on a three-quarter day. Now it's like, you're not getting limits on a three-quarter day. What's wrong?
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, so it's definitely some very good fishing on there. Those overnight trips, still seeing a lot of yellowfin, skipjack, a little bit of other stuff mixed in there also. And we've got plenty of trips still running. Those half days, the three-quarter days, the one days, we have a few day and a half in the mix there. So check the website, c4thlanding.com. Have our full schedule up there. You can, of course, make reservations online. You can give us a call at the office, 619-224-3383. Come down, visit us in person, and, you know, get a Rock Out Rick Burrito, check out the tackle shop, say hi to the guys here, and make some reservations to go fishing there.
Good call, Marcos. I was thinking about it a while ago. Like, I distinctly remember as a kid, like, when Captain Bobby Williams on the Mission Bell caught 9 yellowfin tuna on a three-quarter day trip, you know, with a full load of people.
In October.
And it was sold out for a month because of an opportunity to maybe see one on a three-quarter day, you know. And now you hop on the San Diego, and there's 150 yellows all in, like, prime RSW fish hold. Like, everything as perfect as could possibly be. I mean, it was not that long ago that the opportunity at maybe seeing a single one would just sell the boat out.
Oh, absolutely. Or catching some yellowtail down in the islands there. Or, you know, just the amount of yellowtail we're catching on the half day, kind of the same thing. Just some great fishing we've been having. And before I forget, I want to give credit to Outer Limits here. They brought home a 293-pound fish a couple days ago.
Unreal. Well, you want to talk about another boat that has just been absolutely all over it is Captain Paul and everybody on the Outer Limits. Those guys have had an unbelievable season on big ones.
So, yeah, I mean, like we said, you got a chance not only to catch fish, but there's been some really big fish this year. And it's not like the whole season they've been going out catching one or two fish, a chance of trophy fish. You've got some great fishing, and then on top of that, a chance to catch a huge fish.
Amazing. Very cool, Marcos. Well, great report. One more time, shoot us a phone number if somebody wants to book a spot and go fishing on one of the great boats at Seaforth.
619-224-3383. Or if you call and we're busy or it's after hours, seaforthlanding.com.
Awesome. Great job, Marcos. We appreciate that. We'll look forward to talking next week.
Talk to you then, guys.
All right, appreciate that. Rick Jensen is in the Baja doing a little bit of fishing, so we're not going to be hearing from Rick today, but we'll look forward to having another Northern Baja report next week. And that's going to wrap up our Catch Part, sponsored by Dana Landing on Mission Bay, your one-stop shop for everything that you need to go fishing, a complete saltwater tackle shop, a full deli, which I want to say, too, one of the best delis around, not only the fact that they have one at Dana Landing, but it is fantastic. A full deli, they offer Mexican and California licenses, they have trips and six-pack charters, and when it comes to freshwater tackle, check out East County Bait and Tackle. They are full of all of the freshwater tackle and live bait that you need for a great day at the lake. Dana Landing is right across from SeaWorld, next to the Dana Launch Ramp in Mission Bay, and East County Bait and Tackle. They're at the end of the 67 freeway at Maple View and Lakeside. Check out danalanding.com. Phones are packed up. If you want to get through, the best way right now is with our local line. That's 858 area code 457-1090. Again, 858-457-1090, or call us toll-free, and that toll-free number is 877-792-1090. One more time, 877-792-1090. Let's talk to Rick, calling us from Temecula this morning. Hi, Rick. Welcome to the show.
Hey, first of all, I wanted to say thank you, Rick. I had brought my son and one of his friends to the Ford dealership in Vista. They took a few prizes home, and 2 weeks later, we went on a two-day trip, and one of them caught a 65-pound yellowfin, and the other a 75-pound yellowfin. So thank you very much.
Oh, that's awesome, Rick. Nice going. We'll tell them congrats from us. That's great.
Yeah, and as far as talking to Brandon, I jumped in on the radio a little bit late, and I heard you talk about trophy hunting for these white sea bass. Now, I've been fishing for the local coastal waters for close to 40 years and haven't even hooked a white sea bass. Do you do trips just for, going out and doing the normal fishing for white sea bass, or is it strictly the trophy hunting that you do? And I'll take it off the air.
That's a good question. They're kind of the same. The normal is trophy hunting for them. That's just, I guess, I don't know. I guess you could say like the normal would be going to Catalina and
beach fishing.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, I fish for them, whatever style and whatever the best deal is, or whatever the best bet is for that day or that trip, So I do both, but the big local fish is what I prefer to fish for, if it's available. I've had stretches before where I fished Catalina for 5 weeks in a row because, what year was it? Whatever, a couple years ago, the water was brown and uphill and red tide and red crab everywhere. You're not going to catch nothing in that. So, yeah, whatever kind of the best bet is.
I have seen you put so much effort into putting fish for your customers and watched you, go making these back-to-forth runs from the beach to Catalina because that's where the particular bait was at that time to come back to get fish, to have just enough time to get these guys your fish to turn around and burn back up and, okay, well, now I got 2 days' worth of bait, and okay, now I got to go back again and just on and on and on.
It's a huge hustle sometimes. Yeah,
no doubt. I mean, it's more than – that's the thing with sea bass fishing is to be successful at it, there's an amazing amount of work that one needs to put in, both in knowledge of the area that they're fishing, knowledge of what the fish are doing in reacting to the conditions that are presented for them, the ability to get the bait, all those things. And that's what a guy is getting when he goes fishing with you is – to be on those things. I mean, you said you followed a school for months at a time. Well, that means, you started in one place and you caught the fish and see how they react and see how they move. And you only get that knowledge by being there every day, And if most of us work every day, we don't have a chance. And
right.
Here's an opportunity to go fishing with a guy that is well-connected and very familiar with what that fish is doing and got to watch it Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday.
And we keep it pretty quiet. And it's not because I don't like, I mean, I understand what, supports the fishing landscape. This fish does not do well with crowds on it.
Yeah.
And I think that this fish does not deserve to have 50 boats parked on it when there's a school of 25 of them in the kelp or something like that.
Totally.
That's just my opinion. I think if you're going to do it, you have to work for it. It shouldn't just be a laydown. So, and I put in all that work, and I want to be, I make no bones about it. I want to be home with my kids in the morning and home for dinner, and I'm not because I'm out there doing this, which I love doing, but I'm putting in a lot of hard work. So, in 2015, people said there's going to be no sea bass this year, El Nino hot water. And I started catching them, and I had a good season on them. I didn't post a single photo or do anything because I wanted to play into people's narratives.
Sure.
I only had one boat, so I didn't have to fill up a second or a third boat or do any of that type of stuff. And even now, when we put out photos or something, it's just because it's going to go along with, the narrative that I want to create.
Sure.
I'm not telling anyone else what their narrative should be unless, like, you show up on my spot. I don't think it's fair to, like, post a picture that day and, like, kind of blow it for the people, the passengers who are coming out. You know what I mean? But anyone else can create their own narrative however they want to do it. But I just want to kind of be in control of mine.
Seabass is such a difficult critter because they are very, very poorly reacting to pressure, period.
Horrible.
I mean, it's just they are one of the worst about it. And it's one of those things I get the hard time about it, too, if we get lucky enough to get on a spot of fish because you just don't do anybody any good
by
telling. I mean, it's exciting, and everybody loves to share fun fishing pictures with people. But the problem with that particular fish is if there is a crowd, it's good for no one.
You know
what I mean? And that's the thing. Like, if two guys could be on a spot and have the most fun time in the world, but if the next day there are 12 people there, which I'm in the business of fishing and everything. The problem with that particular fish is once there are 12 boats, then nobody catches any. And that's just it's one of the few fish that is that way, where they are just so poorly reacting to pressure.
Exactly. So that's my take on it. And I feel like it's a disservice to the weekend guy if he finds out they're biting on a Wednesday and it gets all played up and he goes out there on a Saturday and there's 70 boats. Remember that one, there was that nest from, like, Mission Bay up to, like, Crystal Pier? And, there was two nests, and then it all linked up in boats. Like, 4th of July weekend, there's, like, 130 boats one year. Fish caught one.
Yeah.
It never works out.
It just can't.
Same thing east end of Catalina Bay Grounds. It never works out. You know what I mean? So that's kind of the state of everything on that. And when people come out, I tell them, like, hey, man, share your pictures with your friends. You didn't come out here to not tell anyone. I get that.
Yeah, sure.
But have respect for the guys who are coming out two nights from now or three nights from now or that type of stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. And you know what? All of that, everything we just mentioned plays into that exact same thing that we said earlier in the show, that when you do hook that fish and it hits the deck, it's just that, like, fist pump. Like, they're tough. They're hard.
Absolutely.
That's just yet another check in the box of why those fish are tough to get those big ones. And that's what makes them so exciting when you do. Like,
absolutely.
You know, all of those factors play into it. It's a cool fish.
And whether it's next year or 3 years from now, I mean, who knows what's going to happen with this cyclone where we're at, and no one can speak to it.
Yeah.
I'm a broken record. I've said this 100 times before, but you can't even go to the oldest of old timers and ask them when was the last time there were wahoo, blue marlin, 250-pound yellowfin, 60-plus-pound white sea bass, cow bluefin, all these things, right? This is... We're literally rewriting history, right? But when things, quote, go back to normal, whatever normal is, and our normal staple species are yellowtail, sea bass, halibut, calico bass, bonita, barracuda, right? So things are going to circle back again, and this style of fishing is going to be what it's kind of all about.
Yeah,
there will be a time where it's a big deal, and it's cool again to go to an island, catch half a dozen yellow, 20 bass, a little bit of bonita, and
Absolutely.
That's a great trip.
I got no problem with that.
Yeah, same.
But... don't get me wrong. I want to catch 250-pound yellowfin off ocean.
Yeah, I really want to see how this keeps going.
Yeah.
And Bo, who caught that fish, he definitely deserved it. He's a super cool Oceanside commercial guy. To my mind, that 265, is that what it was?
Yeah, I think so.
That was like the last thing that needed to happen this cycle, right?
How true is that?
We had blue marlin, wahoo, these giant bluefin returned for the first time in 100 years or 90 years or whatever we're going to call it. Fill in the blanks of all this incredible stuff that had happened. The only thing that hadn't happened, to my mind, was a cow yellowfin.
And what a fish to get it to. Like, I mean, I'm sure the pictures have been all around. We'll see if we can even put some up on the Let's Talk Hookup Instagram. But that was the perfect one. Like, just rad, giant. It wasn't a 199. It was a 260
so big.
With giant sickles and perfect shape. And and it was caught off of Oceanside. Like, it's so cool.
Yeah.
That is such a cool... You're right. That is like that was just the cherry on top of, like, the raddest cycle that we could ever hope to be a part of.
Pretty neat, like, to out, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that doesn't need to be out. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But if that was a thing, all good.
I think big bluefin is here to stay, and that's what bluefin researchers have said, and I think it's going to be around for a couple more years. And
I think so, too.
I think that's kind of like part of our fabric for a little while here.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just fine with that.
So bitchin'.
I just like it a little closer to home.
Yeah.
That would be nice. But, you
know,
it's pretty cool. It's an exciting thing. Hey, we got so much more Let's Talk Hookup. We got open phone lines if you want to get through at 858-457-1090 or 877-792-1090. And we got more of your phone calls when we return. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
For over five decades, Lee Palm Sport Fishing has set the standard in long-range fishing that they pioneered long ago. The Red Rooster 3 sets a new standard of excellence. The Red Rooster 3 is one of the most modern, quiet, and fastest long-range vessels in the fleet. They have handpicked the finest crew to make your trip a memorable one. The Red Rooster 3 offers trips from 3 to 18 days and runs year-round to the best fishing spots on the planet. Ride the Red Rooster 3 once and you'll be back again. Call the Red Rooster 3 at 619-224-3857 or see them on the web at redrooster3.com.
When you put on a pair of Maui Jim sunglasses, the world begins to look different. Colors are more vivid. Contrast is clearer. Details are crisper. Wherever your vision leads you, beauty follows. With polarized lenses that eliminate glare and enhance color, Maui Jim sunglasses won't change the world. They'll change the way you see it. Color, clarity, detail. Maui Jim.
Sport fishing, not just for dad anymore. At Dana Wharf Sport Fishing, kids fish free every Sunday. Free half-day fishing trip and clinic free for kids 12 and under every Sunday at Dana Wharf. Join the Dana Wharf Kids Club and get over $100 of really cool stuff like two free fishing trips, a free whale watch trip, and more. Dana Wharf, everyone's favorite since 1971. Click DanaWharf.com or visit them in the Dana Point Harbor, the bass capital of the West, and only minutes from the 5 Freeway in Orange County. DanaWharf.com, where kids fish free.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now 19 stores and more to come throughout Southern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman to find a location nearest you. Check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro is home to LA's finest open party fleet, including overnights on the Freedom, Catalina Freelance on the Pursuit, half-day trips on the Monte Carlo, and three-quarter-day trips on the Native Sun. Plus, you can charter the Ultra, Spectra, and True Line. There is always plenty of free parking and a fully stocked tackle store. Take advantage of the Wednesday specials on the Pursuit and Monte Carlo, and kids fish free with a paid adult on the afternoon half-day. 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. Call 310-832-8304 or book online at 22ndstreet.com.
The warm weather is here and our lakes and rivers are brimming. Just remember, if you love California and you love to boat, please wear your life jacket. And make sure everyone with you puts one on too. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
XEPRS 1090 AM Rosarito, Baja California.
San Diego's sports leader.
The home of ESPN Radio.
The Mighty 1090.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Again, if you want to get through, best way right now, toll free 877-792-1090. Again, 877-792-1090. Phones are packed up. Everybody wants to talk to Brandon. Let's jump right back into the phones and talk to James, who's calling us from San Diego. What's up, James?
Hey, I'm kind of new to fishing, and I was wondering, I've been on one charter boat. I was wondering, like, what kind of tackle I should use. Like when I go on one of those boats.
Well, what kind of charter are you going on, James? Are you going to go on a big sport boat with a bunch of people? Or are you going on a small boat with just a couple of guys, like one of Brandon's boats?
I went on a pretty big sport boat.
Okay, and what time of year?
I just went probably a couple weeks ago.
All right, perfect. And then I got one last question. When you go again. Was it the type of thing where you just went in the morning and you came back in the afternoon, or were you going on an overnight? Were you guys staying on the boat?
No, I went in the morning and came back in the afternoon.
All right. So half-day fishing tackle, when you're fishing local, I would say the most common thing that somebody could use on a half-day boat would be like a heavy bass rod. You know, a bass rod with a 300-size reel would be enough for you to catch all of your calico bass and that kind of stuff. Calico bass and sand bass, close, but you could still put on a 3 or 4 ounce sinker and catch rockfish off the bottom. So if you were bringing one outfit, like a Tranx 300 or 400 with some 15-pound line and like an 8-foot bass rod would be the most common thing What's appropriate half day gear, would you say, Brandon? What are things that a guy would not want to have, whether it be James or anybody that was half day fishing?
The right thing to have is like what you're saying, or that like Torium 14 style. I think just too big is kind of a trap that a lot of people fall into.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I
so you can really kind of scale it down, and for most of your stuff, small reels are so strong these days.
Yeah, most of what we can catch, that new Tranx those guys at Shimano came out with, is just, I hadn't fished mine yet, just because this fishing this year, for the most part, has been a lot of big fish. You know, there hasn't been a lot of opportunities to use a smaller reel, and with that Yellowfin around real good, I went fishing with Pete on his boat a couple weeks ago, and finally got a chance to put that Tranx 400 through its fishing, and you can do anything with those little reels now. I mean, that thing is the perfect example. James, you could grab that Tranx 400 and fly line an anchovy for a calico bass, you know, on the kelp, and the very next day go three-quarter day fishing on the San Diego and use it to catch your yellowfin tuna and Dorado. And so, yeah, I would say like a nice low-profile bass reel. It's going to be small enough that it'll fit in your hands pretty well. It's got a level line, which makes it easy, but enough drag to do anything from local bass fishing to local tunas.
Okay.
All right, buddy. Well, good luck when you go again. Give us a call and let us know how the trip goes.
Okay, thank you, guys.
All right, James. Thanks a lot for the phone call. How about next up, we talk to Jason. He's calling us from El Cajon this morning. Hi, Jason. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Well, I'm gonna piggyback off that kid a little bit. I'm in the same situation. I fished my whole life when I was 10, 12 years old, but I kind of got out of it about 10, 15 years ago. So I'm starting to get back into it now. What do you think is the best? Should I start getting back on these, the big half day, three quarter day boats, or is something like hooking up with a guy like Brandon and maybe doing a smaller private charter?
I think both, and I think the perfect way to kind of dip your toe in it would be the San Diego three quarter day boats are just so, you'll be really surprised in the changes in terms of like fish care and just everything. So I think as a kind of, like I said, a little toe dip back into it, jump on one of those, check it out, see how you like it. Just kind of walk up and down the side of the boats and just check out the tackle. You're going to go like, whoa, there's no jig masters.
Totally.
Right?
Totally.
Right.
Wild. Like, wow, there's only two newels. So that's what I would do. I would check it out. But keep in mind, whatever gear you have, it's still going to work, man. Those fish have not changed. A tuna is still a tuna. Yellowtail is still a yellowtail. You know, the fishing industry's probably reinvented itself three times since the last time you bought gear. But that's what I would do, and kind of then audit yourself at the end and see how you like that experience, or that's something that, you want to do more of. And between that and long range and the small boat charters, there's just a ton of options.
Jason, if it's been 15 years, I couldn't agree with what Brandon just said more. You will be amazed at what jumping on the Liberty or jumping on the San Diego is like. The professionalism on a three-quarter day boat, the guys are so savvy at especially helping you get back into the swing of things. Clearly you fished before and it's not like you forgot how to do it, but just little things that'll help you up your game, the food and the fish care and just the comfort on those boats now. It's just like nothing else. And the biggest thing is it's very easy. You show up in the morning, you make your reservation, you show up in the morning, you get your ticket. Those guys take care of everything as far as permits go. Whether you're fishing on the coast and you need an FMM, or you're fishing offshore and you need a Mexican fishing license, everything is handled by the boats. You literally jump on and you get a breakfast burrito and then a cheeseburger in the afternoon and a cold beer, and you don't have to clean the boat up afterwards. There's just nothing involved other than hanging out and enjoying some very fun and very easy fishing. And it's a crazy good value for what it is. Providing crew and all the live bait and all the tackle and all the permits, the little amount that you have invested in, it's so easy. And the beauty of going on a thing like Brandon, that's, like we said, that's your trophy trip. And if you've got a couple of buds, it's a lot of fun because it's, as he said at the beginning of the show, it's your boat and it's your experience and it's what you want to do. And all of those things are good things, whether you're jumping on a half day or going on a 16-day to Clarion, everything in between is a lot of fun. There's so many good options out there for a guy that's into fishing right now.
Awesome, yeah, that's what I'm looking to get back into it, like, full bore. So thanks for the information, guys. And, Brandon, keep your ears open. I might be hitting you up in a couple of months.
Okay, sounds good. We'll be around.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you very much, guys.
Appreciate the phone call very much. I think that, and I know that they're busy, I know they're popular, I think the coolest thing somebody could do with someone who's maybe not a huge fishing person? I don't want to use a cliche thing and just say the wife or girlfriend, although that's a common one. I mean, it could just be buds, it could be somebody from work. I think that your lobster trip is probably about the coolest outdoor experience for the non, you know, quote-unquote fisher person.
I agree.
It's plenty easy. There's nothing to it, but it's a fun physical activity. If you don't like eating lobster, you're crazy.
Right,
you know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
It's just like everything about those trips that you do is so cool.
Yeah. I always say we try to make an experience out of it,
yeah.
You know? And so whatever it is people want to do. And I've had groups before where just like you said, as soon as people start saying, like, family, my wife, a bachelor party, I immediately think, like, ooh, Catalina trip.
Totally.
Works, makes a lot of sense. And then, you know, three or four people throw in, you get a little rental there or something like that. And there's fishing opportunity, too. So I couldn't agree more. It's just a great year-round type play. And, I mean, I'll take that November, early December weather over June any day.
Okay.
Yeah, beautiful.
And the cool thing about the lobster thing is it's like the most down to, you know, back to basics thing ever. You're literally pulling on the rope waiting to see what comes up. You know
right.
what I mean? And, like, who on earth isn't excited about that? Like, when the bridal float first comes into view and you see the red and everything's clicking and it's fun grabbing the lot. Like, everything about that type of fishing is really cool. And what a cool experience for somebody that doesn't do, you know, you don't need to be an expert. You don't need to know how to fly line
right.
and pin a live bait on a number two hook, because really touch fishing to try and get a bite, you know, drop the hoops and pull them up.
No, it's surprisingly fun. And I have... dare I say, I have, like, a lot of, like, pretty serious hardcore fishermen, long-range guys that come out with me. So I've had guys that have come out for fill-in-the-blank sea bass or whatever, and they're like, yeah, I'll try one of those lobster things. And then they come out and do it once, and they're just like, I want four trips next year.
Yeah, I'm booked. I'm taking my buds.
Yeah.
I'm taking my wife on this one.
And trap fishing is fun, from an operator's perspective. Trap fishing is super fun. And I've said this before, too. I think lobster fishing, especially kind of that deeper water where you got to read current and stuff like that, just improves your fishing game in general in terms of, like, setting up the boat and stuff like that. So
you have had very, very good success. What do you think is one thing that a private boater that, you know, is wanting to get into, or what do you think is a mistake that's most commonly overlooked? If there is one that you could say a guy that's, you know,
the notion of a spot. I've said this before too. Like, people have it ingrained, like, ooh, this is my lobster spot. Ooh, this is my sea bass spot. Ooh, this fill, right? And that spot can be really good, but there's no place in Southern California that's just like every time you go there, it's a slam dunk,
yeah.
right?
It just doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. Things move around and change a lot. So just realizing that sometimes you have to adjust, and those adjustments could be that, yeah, you have the best spot ever, but the current's ripping, so your icon, where you usually set up, you need to be up above a little bit more, that type of stuff. You know what I mean? So I just say, like, developing rules and always doing things the same way, because that's what worked before. Versus, like, it's going to work now because I need to do it this way based on conditions. So, yeah, just not getting shackled to doing the same thing over and over again.
That's really good advice. Because if a guy hits it twice when the conditions happened to be the same both times, it could just be the death sentence of knowing, like, okay, this is
right.
it. This, you know.
Right.
And you could have just showed up, and the tide and the current and the moon were all happened to be doing the same thing the last two times you were there. So you just get convinced that this is where... In front of this hotel, this is where I like to drop them.
Right. And there's something about the human mind. We love things on shore. It's just like getting back to when you fish with your dad.
No doubt.
Let's go in front of the oak tree, Dad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. But, yeah, exactly. There's something to everything, and it's just time and conditions based. And, like, a perfect example is the east end of Catalina. You know, if you fish there in June and there's good downhill current, like, and there's fish around, you're probably going to get bit. But you could fish that place till you're blue in the face in the fall, winter, and even early spring. That's not a traditional sea bass zone early, you know?
Yeah.
So there is a reason, because same thing with the lobsters. They're at different depths during different times of the year.
That's really, really good info. Appreciate that. Hey, again, if you want to get through, talk to Brandon, 858-457-1090 or 877-792-1090. Let's talk to John, calling us from Upland this morning. Hi, John. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning.
Hi, John.
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Good.
Great. Good morning.
Yeah. Just a quick report from Cedros. We got back yesterday.
Nice.
We had an epic trip. We were getting the yellows up 47. Our biggest was a 47 pounder. We got two actually that were 47 pounds.
Unbelievable.
And we lost a lot of fish. We've broken off quite a bit. But being said that, with all the fish that we did keep, we were just under the limit of fish that we could have brought.
Wow.
It was unbelievable.
That's fantastic, John. How are you guys catching your yellowtail?
live mackerel, and we didn't catch any on the slow troll, but we were catching them on just the mackerel fly lining, and then we caught some on the Rapala's trolling.
That's great. Well, congratulations. A couple of 47s. That's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Andy Ariano was one of the guys that went with me, and he's the one that it was that caught the 47 tiny. I got some great pictures of him. One of the fish, the first one he caught, actually dropped him on his knees. It was pulling so hard. It was, it was great. And then the last day we ended up, we caught a fish on the troll. And then we're bringing the troll fish in, and right in front of us, there was this huge, massive boil on yellowtail. So we're yelling at the third guy, hey, hurry up and get that troll fish in. You know, but then it turned out it was a yellow. So I said, all right, take your time. But by the time we got it in, and we ended up catching four more fish on that spot on the fly live mackerel. It was unbelievable.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, congratulations. Sounds like an unbelievable trip, and glad you had so much fun, John. Thanks a lot for the phone call and the great report from Cedros. Dennis in Oceanside, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, how's it going?
Good morning.
Yeah, I live over near Oceanside Harbor, and I have a kayak. And my question is, would it be okay to, like, go in the harbor and drop, like, a lobster hoop net, or do you have to go outside?
No, you're allowed to. You can hoop net inside Oceanside Harbor. You can't hoop net inside Dana Point Harbor. You can't hoop net inside of Newport Harbor, or you can't hoop net inside Los Alamitos Bay, but you can inside, like, Long Beach Harbor and such. So inside Oceanside Harbor, yeah,
what,
you can.
What kind of technique do you recommend?
And don't worry, you won't be alone.
Okay.
Yeah. Technique, it's pretty straightforward. If you're on your kayak and you're by yourself, you're allowed up to 5 hoop nets if you're an individual. And, you know, you live in Oceanside, you could go to any kind of local tackle shop, and they sell little kits where it's just the float and a little bit of rope. You're not going to be in very deep water in that area.
Right.
You're definitely not more than 25 or 30 feet. So pretty straight ahead. But
awesome.
I'd say just go into your local tackle shop. They'll get you all kitted up.
And make sure I have a lot of light on my kayak and my head.
Yeah.
Only from not having fished there myself, but knowing how horrific San Diego and Mission Bay are, what's the sea lion issue like in Oceanside? I would have to guess just as bad. And that parlays into the other thing, you know, whether before for Dennis's question or just in general, how do you go about keeping yourself somewhat sea lion resistant where you're fishing?
There's a lot of seals and ocean sea lions in Oceanside Harbor where there wasn't 7 or 8 years ago.
Sure.
Not nearly the volume. It's incredible. It's like a micro scene out of like those San Francisco photos that you see. I really like to use a bait cage if I can get away with it.
Okay.
Gavin turned me onto those little square ones, Gavin that runs Pacific Queen. Small, like less bait is sometimes better.
Okay.
So I like a cage if I can get away with it. With that said, I used standard cages for a long time, a couple seasons, never had any issues. One night I had the seals literally ruin my trip. They ripped the bait cages out of like 7 out of my 10 hoops, and they're just throwing, you know, the typical nightmare stuff. So I switched over to those tubes.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do is I try to start with the cage. It seems like you can get away with the cage. At times, you can get away with it more than others at Catalina. I try to start with that, and then I'll use the tube. And since we're out every night, I just know, like, oh, God, the seals are horrific right now.
Yeah.
We're not even going to try.
Sure.
And then just use the tube. The big thing is I see this because we fish at night so much. People love lights. Put on the spotlight. Put on the floodlight. Can we get some light over here?
Yeah.
As soon as you start lighting up, you're a magnet.
Okay.
It's the same thing when you're making squid. You know, if you kind of keep your underwater light on, you can keep that seal off you. They see you literally from a mile away with your lights on. So we try to hoop with just little headlamps or with very, very little light. It helps a lot keeping the seals off of you.
Man, that's good info.
Yeah. And, you know, the big thing is you don't want those when you hit bottom, even though the seals aren't going to, like, pluck out your lobsters, you don't want that seal lording over your hoop.
Totally.
Because what's going to crawl around in there when there's something 500 times bigger than them above it? So just kind of keep that stuff off you. I never dump my bait on the spot.
Yep.
I always put it in a bucket and dump it way off the island or on the way home or whatever.
That's great. Yeah. Great stuff. Dennis, appreciate the phone call. Good luck in Oceanside Harbor. Hope you get them. John in La Mirada, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Hi, John.
Hello.
Hi.
How you guys doing?
Great, John.
Good
morning.
Hey, I got a question talking about white sea bass and squid. What is your take on fresh dead squid?
What's your definition of fresh dead squid?
Well, it hasn't been frozen. And I know sometimes, you know, you put a squid on just a jig and drop it down off the bottom and, you know, you can get hit. But my question is overall is if there's no fresh squid available without heading over to the island, is fresh,
I got you. I think I've only asked that because I think the lines of what fresh dead squid gets blurred a little bit sometimes. Fresh dead, to my mind, is like it hasn't been frozen and it just came off of a seiner or something like that. You know, that Asian market squid gets kind of hyped up. I mean, that stuff just gets defrosted and put in the case most of the time. So fresh dead squid, it works great. It plays just as good as live most of the time, to my mind. Like really, truly fresh dead squid. Because once you put a squid on a hook, you know, we use big 7080 hooks or a jig or whatever. Once you impale that squid on there, it's kind of dead at that point anyways.
Dead-ish.
Yeah, you know. Right? It's not like a sardine where it's going to race off a bunch of lines. So I'm totally fine with the fresh dead play.
Like you say, fresh dead means it was the, you know, it was stuff that you caught and it died in the tank or somebody caught the night before. Is there a bait that is that good or close to that good that a guy can get, or is it just the level drop off so sharp? You know, meaning the Asian market, the San Pedro squid, the cheap bait that you get at a Walmart. Like what is
the best
levels of effectiveness?
The best frozen squid, or we'll call it like fresh frozen squid, is stuff that you make yourself.
Mm-hmm.
However, whatever your formula is for saving the squid, you know what I mean? It needs a lot of ice. In a perfect world, it goes into a bag, goes right into a freezer. That's no doubt the best.
Okay.
And that San Pedro squid is really, really top tier. It's good. You can catch fish on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. A lot of that grocery store stuff, you know, by the time you buy it at a grocery store or fill in the blank, it's gone from a boat in California, been packaged, been shipped overseas probably, defrosted, repackaged, and do the math, you know?
Crazy.
Yeah. So, and squid's expensive, man. It's not 60 a scoop anymore. It's 70 now. So... Or no, it's not 50, it's 60. It went up $10.
Well,
and it goes by the pound because they're getting so much money per ton for it. It makes sense for that price to go up. So my point is, when you have the ability to make a bunch of it, bag it up and freeze it, you really want to capitalize on that.
Is there art to keeping frozen squid when you're doing it on your boat? You know, you're on a good squid nest. I mean, is it just a matter of throwing it in a Ziploc or is special care?
I'm pretty obsessive about it.
Okay.
The ink is going to make it spoil, especially if it gets kind of warm or it sits in its own ink.
Mm-hmm.
The best frozen squid, to my mind, is squid where you scoop it out of your tank, put it in a bag, put it in a freezer.
Okay.
Second best play is you take it out of your tank, put it in a bag, blanket it with ice, just packing ice on it, and then race it home and get into a freezer. Put it in the freezer. If it's going to sit on ice for a day or two, like theoretically if I went to Catalina, filled my tanks, and we had coolers, and it's like, all right, we're doing a freezer run here. At that point, I would do whatever I had to do to get the ink out of it, kill it, run salt water over it, bag it up so it's kind of white,
because
it's going to sit in that ink for a decent amount of time before you can freeze it.
Okay.
So that's how I go about it.
So it's almost like fish. The quicker you can get it cold, the better it's going to be.
Yeah.
And when you just go straight from the boat into the bag, into the freezer, is it not getting ink because it's not allowing itself to discharge that ink? Is that what the thing
is?
No,
it just hasn't sat in its own ink for a long time.
So you just
it
don't want
freezes
this,
in its own
the
ink.
Dying gross juice, you know, when it freezes on that and then defrost, that's when it loses its quality for getting bites.
And when I defrost it, I don't defrost it in the bait tank. I defrost it on its own little micro bed of ice, so it's kind of like a slow defrost.
Oh, okay.
Bring it back down. So your goal is to be able to get bit on frozen just as good as if it was live.
Good info. Hey, John, very much appreciate the phone call there. Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out what lucky guys got that three-quarter day trip. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Mighty 1090.
This is Pete Gray to tell you about one of my favorite places to fish in the world. It's Whalers Cove Lodge in Angoon, Alaska. For several years now, we've been hosting groups at Whalers Cove, and this is certainly one trip I do not miss. Each year, the Powers family makes great improvements to the lodge that make this great lodge even better. New rooms, new boats, new fish processing facilities, new outdoor kitchen. The list goes on and on. As for fishing, the calm waters around Whalers Cove are 100 miles from any large town, so you will enjoy wilderness adventure without the crowds. Whalers Cove Lodge has some of the best salt and freshwater fishing in Alaska, and there's no need for a bumpy boat ride for hours. You can find productive fishing for salmon, halibut, and rockfish just 10 minutes from the lodge. Here's the deal. The word is out on Whalers Cove, so you want to go? Book soon. WhalersCoveLodge.com or call 800-423-3123. WhalersCoveLodge.com for the Alaska fishing experience of a lifetime.
Have you been looking for a live bait hook that keeps live bait alive? Look no further than Japan's leading fish hook, Gamakatsu. It's the little things that make the difference, and Gamakatsu hooks drive the point home. With an absolute perfect bend and ideal barbs, your bait swims harder and longer. And when you get bit, Gamakatsu hooks bite back with a vengeance. All hooks are not the same. Go with Gamakatsu for infinite success. Gamakatsu, simply the best. Check Gamakatsu.com.
Great boats, free parking, and a fully stocked tackle shop. Just a few of the reasons Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top charter boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Eclipse, Apollo, Outer Limits, Pacific Star, Elgato Dos, Alexis, Pride, Privateer, Tribute, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half, three-quarter, and full-day trips available. Check out the full-service tackle store at Seaforth Sport Fishing. And it's all run by fishermen for fishermen. 1717 Quivira Road, just off Mission Bay Drive in Mission Bay. Book online at seaforthlanding.com. No matter the fishing conditions, count on the Seaguar family of fluorocarbon leader material to help you catch more fish. Fluoro Premier has a smaller diameter with the highest break strength. Plus, it is super soft. When bites are tough, tie on Fluoro Premier. Blue Label is tough as nails with incredible abrasion resistance and impact strength. And new Pink Label is the choice for tough light conditions, giving you a little more visibility for better line control. Pick up a spool of Seaguar at your favorite tackle dealer or visit Seaguar.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. All right, the big winner going fishing on a three-quarter day trip aboard the San Diego out of Seaforth Sport Fishing is going to Ken in El Cajon. Ken, congratulations. You are going to love fishing with those guys. Brandon, I can't get over how fast 2 hours rolls by. So much that we didn't get to talk about because there's so much going on with the bite, both the journal, the fishing. If somebody wants to keep up on both Bite Journal, when the new issue's coming out, and really excited about booking trips with you, how do we do all the info? How do we find Brandon, yeah, and Wes and James and everybody in your crew?
Yeah, yeah. So there's Bite Sport Fishing, and there's the Bite Journal, and they both have their own website. And if you need any info on anything, you can always just give me a call. My cell is 949-212-0719. I mean, everything kind of starts with an email these days, but just call, because I'm going to call you otherwise.
Do it, do it. And there's still spots. It's very popular for a reason. You do a very good job, have a very high success rate, but, man, there are still definitely opportunities to get in on both fishing, lobstering. Next year, there's times. Call.
Totally. On that bluefin thing, if you haven't done it or if you did it once and it didn't work out, no matter if you went on a sport, no matter who you went with, I say don't give up. Give it another try again and try to book something now, because who knows when that's going to happen again.
Couldn't agree more. Good call. Hey, we appreciate having you. We appreciate you listening today. Great show. And, man, do we have another great one for you in the spirit of lobster season. Tomorrow, Jim Salazar from Promar, the lobster guru, is going to be joining us. We're going to be talking Promar. We're going to be talking lobster. And we're going to be having lots of fun doing it. You stay tuned. That's tomorrow morning. Let's Talk Hookup from 7 to 9 right here on the Mighty 1090. Throw lunch.